You're listening to the Counterculture Mom Show. Our kids are under fire every day with the media and pop culture persuading them to give up their faith and Christian values. Stay tuned now as former Hollywood actress and pop culture expert Tina Griffin helps you counter these messages and safely navigate today's pop culture chaos.
Remember what Grandma said, garbage in equals garbage out. Let's keep the garbage out in 2024 and put quality TV shows, movies, social media that is biblically based in our kids' brains. The Counterculture Mom app is loaded with these godly options. We have many different easy-to-navigate sections on our app. However, the most popular is the pop culture alerts. Get timely pop culture alerts through our push notifications with the Counterculture Mom app. These daily notifications keep you updated about cultural issues that are trending, and many of which are dangerous for our kids to see. However, we pump out a ton of positive pop culture alerts so you have great entertainment options right at your fingertips. You can download the Counterculture Mom app at the Google Play or iTunes store and get our notifications right on your phone. Read the short alerts, apply your advice, and in turn, your children will know how to make their own wise media choices and develop a healthy worldview as a result. Win-win, people. The app is $5 a month, or we're doing a deal now for the entire year for $50. That funding helps us push out more alerts each week with our team of six just on the app and produce this show every single week. Don't forget to say yes to receiving those push notifications when you download the app. Happy navigating, people.
It's hard to talk about things that don't necessarily have an answer. People don't like that. We're looking for better answers. Now, let's say, like, this has a concrete answer. That's sort of the mysterious nature of supernatural. We want to codify that. We want to talk about. It makes you think of The Usual Suspects, where the greatest trick the devil ever pulled was convincing the world it didn't exist.
Yep.
Right? I mean, that's part of this paradigm.
I preached on that 2 weeks ago.
Right,
I mean, seriously. Yeah.
No, but I mean, if you can remove supernatural, it's all of it. Yeah. It's the bad stuff, too. Yeah. Right? And so then if Satan doesn't exist, or... evil is a construct of our humanity.
Just humans.
Yeah, it's just it's a symptom of humanity.
Absence of good.
Yeah. Right. Yes. Well, you rationalize all these things, and it doesn't leave space for that. So then you really are pushing faith and
where we're going.
Good and evil all over there, right? It's all just
relationship with our father.
Well, then we go relativity, right? Yes. The end of the relativity, right? Where you're just like, well, Oprah, my truth is this, right? And everyone is not anchored to anything but to what their own.
Their feelings. Super feminine.
Luke Rogers is the co-host of the Blurry Creatures podcast, one of the top 100 U.S. podcasts and one of the top 5 science shows in the U.S. They have 13 million downloads, interviewing academic scholars, filmmakers about the weird things in our world, the Bible, and history. This is the Counterculture Mom Show. I'm Tina Griffin. It's time to dive in deep to a topic we haven't covered on our show to date, but is absolutely necessary. It's on the Nephilim. And who else but Luke Rogers to open up this session on the Nephilim, co-host of the Blurry Creatures podcast. Luke, how you doing?
Great. It's a pleasure to be here, Tina. It's good to see you.
You too. Now, you just possibly saw some Nephilim. You came out of Montana, backwoods, off the grid for about the last 2 weeks. Did you see anything weird in the woods?
No. But you know what's funny is this is a bit of an aside, but out near Fort Smith, Montana, there is some space where a lot of these old crusty Montana cowboys say they see duendes, which are little people. So it's sort of on the opposite end of the spectrum, because we associate Nephilim with giants, and that's what the Bible talks about in Genesis 6. But some little people out there. So maybe the other end of the spectrum of hybrids, who knows?
Could it be the Nephilim babies? Like, how big are Nephilim infants?
I don't know. That's one of those questions that, like, did the mothers die in childbirth? Did they just grow rapidly? These are all things we don't really know. But it's a fascinating topic. I mean, it's funny. You know, I was joking on a pre-roll that, you know, I'm not an expert or a theologian in the sense of this, but this is really sort of a crux or a point of our show that takes a lot of sort of the things we're sort of spawned out of, right? You have this very obscure passage in Genesis that that is most often glossed over in church because it's weird. Like, and then it doesn't give you a lot. You got four verses, and I think that's a lot of what we try to talk about is, you know, what's going on here and why is Moses so brief about this subject, and yet it continues to show up in a lot of the things that we see sort of cascading down in Genesis.
Absolutely. There's like 50 questions I want to ask you. I could not think of a better person to open up this series, Blurry Creatures Podcast. It doesn't matter where I go. I could be in Guam and someone's asking me if I tune into your program, and I'm not joking.
Okay.
What spawned your interest in the Nephilim? How old were you, and when did this all get started?
Well, this happened in the show, Tina. This is funny. You know, I grew up in church, so I've been accepted to Christ when I was four. Grew up in like a non-denominational church up in Northern California, and never heard of this stuff. Really never heard of it until we started the podcast in 2020. You know, Nate and I, my co-host, it was more of a tongue-in-cheek fun thing. Our first 10 episodes were on Bigfoot, you know, and we were like, let's just have a Bigfoot podcast, or maybe our parents will listen, some of our friends will humor us. But about episode 11, we brought in Dr. Jed Burton, and we started talking about the Nephilim, like what's going on here, and could this correlate possibly to some of the things we talk about with Bigfoot? And that's where it all began. So I hadn't even really thought about it, talked about it until this is 2020. So I'm really like 5 years in now on going over this. And it was the work of Dr. Jed Burton, guys like Ryan Peterson, who've written on it. Of course, the late Dr. Michael Heiser was huge, and his work, and calls himself a scribe, his compilation of materials on the ancient Near East, Second Temple literature, and what we see in Psalm 82, how that connects to Genesis 6. And how all that stuff plays out in the Bible, and what's going on here with the sons of God and the daughters of man, and how that relates to the flood. And for me, it's like a lot like the Rosetta Stone of the Old Testament. Understanding the Nephilim really opens up, you know, what's going on. It's such a fascinating topic, and that was new for me. I was like, I don't even know what to think about this. Like, but maybe this has something to do with some of the creatures. It definitely has a lot to do with the agenda of the darkness and what they're trying to do, to eliminate a bloodline for the Messiah.
You so nailed it with that very powerful statement. And here's what's wild. Both you and I want to do exactly what the Lord's calling us to do, and He has called you for this specific time in history, because I really believe, Luke, many people are turning to the Lord and placing their faith in Christ because you're addressing the answers to the questions a lot of people have, that a lot of churches are not talking about, that other podcasts are not addressing. It's these topics in the end times that are helping people connect the dots, make sense, and say maybe there is a God. And maybe Jesus is true and is who He says He is, because these questions are being answered.
What happens here is a seed war. And I think this is so very important to understand why God destroys the world with a flood. So, of course, historically, Tina, about the 5th century AD, we have this view now, which most of the modern church takes, which is the Sethite view. So, you know, why does this happen? Because pre 5th century AD, the entire church, and before that, as far as you know, the Jews and those that adhered to the law of Moses and the Torah, understood that in Genesis 6, the sons of God, the Ben Elohim, even the Septuagint, the early translations of the Old Testament, have an angelic mixing. So angels left their first estate, they left heaven, and they took wives, and this rebellion, which we talk about in our show as the first rebellion, angelic rebellion, and they take wives, and they're offspring of the Nephilim, and that's all it says. So four verses, but it's that Moses writing to a readership that understood this story. The Enochian literature is really in, especially the Book of the Watchers. Be very careful how I say this. So the first book of Enoch has a section. The oldest section is called the Book of the Watchers. And it's really just an expanding upon the story of Genesis 6. It's been rejected as canon. It's not canon. But Mike would say that it was important enough that everyone at the time read it. So they knew this story. They knew it either from an oral tradition, or they had read the written pieces of Enoch. And we can get into Enoch and all that kind of stuff. But it's not part of our canon because... And people thought it was more modern, right? Thought that it was ripping from Jude and First Peter, but when they found the Dead Sea Scrolls in the early 20s, they realized that which predates Christ, those scrolls, that Enoch was the second most copied book, and that actually Peter and Jude were directly quoting from the Book of Enoch. So all to say, it was at least important enough that the writers of the New Testament quote it. The Bible in Genesis 6 is very interesting. It says they were in the land then and thereafter. So of course, if we look at the biblical narrative, we've got giants after the flood, right? We've got Goliath and his four brothers. House of David is immensely popular right now on Amazon. So people can kind of see a visual of Goliath and his brothers from Gath. They were giants, right? You have King Og of Bashan. People talk about him being a giant, perhaps, because when the Israelites conquered Bashan, they displayed his 13-foot bed. It was like a museum piece, if you will, right?
Wow.
And then Gary Wayne is a guy that goes really into a lot of this as well. But all of the ites of the conquest of the Holy Land of Joshua, it's very important. I think this is actually a point which make things really make sense. We live in a time when people deconstruct their faith. And a lot of it is like, I don't know if I can serve a God that sanctions genocide, right? This is something that's said a lot. Like, conquest of Joshua is really hard. They destroy whole people groups. But what I would contend is that when the spies return from the land, you see, there are giants in the land. There's giants here, right? And only Caleb and Joshua think they can take them. This is the quick and dirty of that story, right? But if you're to believe that, and not that they're just like lying because they're afraid, which is what a lot of your commentaries will say,
right?
Then we have a land that's inhabited by hybrids.
James 5:16 reminds us to confess our sins to one another and pray for each other so we may be healed. It's not enough to admit the church body has a hidden porn problem. Church leaders need the tools to help people find freedom. The Healing Church book by Covenant Eyes cuts through the confusion. Here's what to expect from this phenomenal read. Learn why sex isn't the real problem regarding pornography. Discern how porn undermines ministry in the local church. Understand how porn affects men and women differently and how to help them. The church has a choice. It can ignore the porn problem, or it can lead people by grace to the foot of the cross, where strongholds are crushed and strong servants arise. Get your free copy of the Healing Church book in the mail today. Scan the QR code on the screen or text the word VICTORY to the number 66866. This book is a must-read for ministry leaders, parents, and counselors. Text VICTORY to the number 66866. Together with our friends at Covenant Eyes, we can help the church conquer pornography once and for all.
Have you been feeling a little off lately? Many of us have. The crazy thing is, you're not sick. You're being poisoned. GMOs, glyphosates, heavy metals, microplastics, nanobots, and graphene oxide in vaccines. These toxins are everywhere. But there is a solution that detoxifies and goes after the root of the problem with all natural ingredients that work at the nano and cellular levels. It's called Masterpiece. This organic formula has two natural ingredients, zeolite and sea plasma, both powerfully structured together. The clinical studies are unmatched, and they've got thousands of testimonials with incredible stories. One user said, "Phenomenal product. I've only been taking it for a week and my energy levels are through the roof." To get Masterpiece, just go to masterpiecebyhcs.com. That's Masterpiece by hcs.com, or click on the link below. Enter code Tina at checkout to get our special pricing. It's literally a dollar a day. Let's ditch the poison.
Now, you can debate the heights of the giants. You can. I tend to think they're probably smaller than the original sort of sons of the angels, the demigods of old. These are like the Hercules and heroes of old, right? These are the men of renown, as the Bible says. So you have these demigods that walk. I think it's a little different after, but you know, your initial question is, there giants today? It's a great question. Of course, the famous story out of Afghanistan is the one people always go back to, is the giant of Kandahar. And you know what? Is that real? People swear it is. L.A. Marzulli's interviewed the helicopter pilot.
Okay, tell me more about that.
The story goes that a platoon, I believe, of Rangers, and I'll probably get eviscerated for getting this wrong, but essentially a military platoon is looking for insurgents, and they're clearing caves, and they run upon a sort of a blue-skinned, red-haired giant that comes out and spears one of the guys, and they end up unloading full magazines into this giant, and they kill it, and they kind of know what to do. So they call in and they airlift this thing out in C-130, the body out, and they're sort of all sworn to secrecy. Although the story has gotten out. Now, did that happen? I don't know. But what's interesting in our show, we've talked to some folks from Afghanistan, and there is a hugely cultural prevalent belief in giants in Afghanistan. Like, there's giant graves.
Share some stories on this. This is wild.
Sure. We interviewed an Afghani on the show who said that near his village where he grew up, there was a purported grave of a giant that was venerated, and they grew up believing there were giants. There were giants. That's why you actually bring all your livestock inside at night. And honestly, and also the idea of a lot of the Afghan livestock and some of the people dye their the wool or the fur on their animals orange, which is supposed to be in sort of reverence to these red-haired giants. That, which is sort of this cultural lore that exists, which is still in the modern day, giant graves being venerated. I had a buddy who was a Marine who was stationed down in southern, not in Kandahar, but in southern Afghanistan. And we had him on the show, Zach Bell. And he said that the translators, the Afghans they worked with, would tell stories about giants, and these weren't just like, let's scare the Americans. These were actually loyal translators to the cause out there that would say this happens and we've, you know, this is what happens up in the mountains in these caves. There are giants. Now, hard to verify and that kind of stuff, but you get stories. And we've got stories from a number of people that said they've seen giants in Louisiana bayous or way up in the mountains. Could they still exist? I mean, it's possible.
Do you think that
likely, possible, and likely? I don't know. I mean, I think that, and we talked to a soldier that had one on Therm in Afghanistan. He was on overwatch, and he watched it stand up, and it was as tall as a tree. He watched it as he was on overwatch for their FOB, their forward operating base, and said, "Hey, I haven't really told the story, but we had thermals, and I watched the thing stand up, and it was as tall as a tree, and went down and saw the tree the next day, and it had to be taller than 8 feet. It wasn't an Afghan person. This is a giant." So
this is just nuts. Like this conversation, yeah. This series, that's why I was afraid to pull the trigger and do Nephilim. And until now, yeah. We're 4 years into production, 800 yeah. episodes. And we have a ton of people asking questions about this. I'm like, we've got to get Luke in the mix. when you see a tall person in a crowd, that's like 8, 9, 10 feet tall. Cause I, every now and then do see that. The first thought
there's
I
no
have is,
footers, you know, there's no 10 footers.
There's no
7 footers.
Yeah, maybe, 7 you know. Footers. Yeah. I just saw like that. Do you know what, how tall the tallest man is walking the earth right now?
I don't know. There's a 7'9" kid that plays for Florida.
I did hear about that kid. Yeah. But when you see tall people, it's almost like you question if they're part Nephilim. Do you think there's Nephilim then running around today? And do they look a lot like us? Or do they have to be like hairy, Bigfoot-looking monsters?
That's a great question. I tend to think that like we're just looking at human expression. I think the idea of people growing bigger now isn't necessarily like a Nephilim thing. I think it's more of a product of, you know, our sanitation and our nutrition, even though it's pretty bad here, you know, at the time. That's why we're getting rid of dyes and everything and seed oils and all that. But I think we live longer. There's bigger expressions. The understanding of the men of renown and these giants of the Old Testament is that they were like these mighty warriors. It's hard to imagine. Think about your biggest people, these basketball players. Most of the people that grow that big are like pretty unathletic and awkward.
Right.
Like, so thinking that somehow that's like a menacing warrior, aside from their size, is kind of hard. Like the biggest guys, and I just think about basketball, for example, the biggest guys are usually like real uncoordinated, have a real hard time moving, have really bad extreme, like knee and hip and back problems because of their size. It sounds like they could have been men of renown because of their height, but not necessarily because of their... Like they're not overly athletic. Now, guys like Shaq are probably an anomaly in that sense, but it doesn't, to me, doesn't fit the description of what we're seeing here. I think we're seeing like a demigods that are doing these crazy like acts of heroism and battle. It seems like something, like if you think about your tall basketball player being out there among armies, they might take a few out, but they don't move well. And in armor, I don't picture these guys being excessive, you know, warriors. And so that to me doesn't really add up.
Have you ever wanted to start a charity or ministry? Launching a nonprofit can be time-consuming, expensive, and overwhelming. If you have a vision and mission, but don't know where to start or how to raise donations, Capstone Legacy Foundation is your solution. Their ministry charity project allows you to receive tax-free donations without the expense and hassle of forming your own 501c3, and in less than 48 hours. This ministry partnership fund is exactly how Counterculture Ministries got its start, and we grew quickly. Capstone Legacy Foundation handles all your legal and accounting paperwork, allowing you time to develop the ministry and message God gave you. Call Capstone today at 610-688-8890 or check out capstonelegacy.org for more information and tell them Tina sent you. Partner with Capstone Legacy Foundation to transform our culture for Christ and get your nonprofit started today.
Is there a Christian alternative to Instagram? Stick around and find out. For Christians scrolling through Instagram, some reels, photos, and videos can be less than edifying. A lot of Christians have grown frustrated with the lack of options for social media platforms that align with their beliefs. Others may just be tired of getting sucked into the algorithm and are looking for social media alternatives with other believers. The answer to your question is Tubu. Tubu is an awesome Christian alternative to Instagram where you can share photos, videos, Bible verses, and more with fellow believers. So what is Tubu like? Let's take a look. Tubu is more than social media. It's a community. The Tubu community is full of like-minded individuals who share your values and beliefs. When you join Tubu, you'll be able to connect with people who understand you and your faith. So what are you waiting for? Go to tuvu.com/Tina for your first 30 days free. That's tuvu.com/Tina for 30 days free.
Why in the world do you think churches today and pastors do not even talk about these much needed, wanted topics like the Nephilim?
Oh yeah, it's a great question. This is one of those handful of things in the Bible you don't get sermons on Sunday for a lot of reasons. I think this is a very nuanced answer. First and foremost, the Western Church in and of itself, by and large, operates much like a corporation. I think, you know, the pastor is like a CEO.
And
a
lot of times
you don't want to cover a lot of the weird stuff because unfortunately you got to keep butts in seats, right? The minute you start talking about angels having kids and giants, a lot of folks think it's pretty fantastical or crazy. I mean, honestly, with 5th century AD is why a lot of those church fathers moved the Sethite view. It was much more comfortable, right? Angels procreate. Doesn't Matthew say angels don't marry? It sure says they don't marry. It doesn't say they don't procreate.
Wow.
But you have this like, sort of Lord of the Rings situation that's occurring. It feels like fantasy, but this is the way that the scriptures read. And if all scripture is God breathed, then this is important. I think that plays part of it. I think by and large, a lot of supernatural has been sort of divorced from our faith in a lot of ways. There are a lot of churches, I know this is a broad brush, that do a great job of talking about the very supernatural essence and aspects of our faith, which is kind of crazy to think about. Like we believe in a virgin birth and an incarnate Christ, and a resurrected Christ, talking donkeys, giants. You open the Bible, we have to believe all. Like there's no parsing. It's either all true or it's not, which is, you know, it's all true. So I think this is one of those subjects that's
so
like,
good.
I think people think it could be derailing. But as I said before, my point of view with this is, and being really only five years into this, right, and just have written Heiser's work, talked to the Doug Van Dorns, the Jed Burtons, the Ryan Pittersons, the L.A. Marsulis, the Timothy Alberinos of the world on our show. I just think it's such an important It's such an important aspect of unlocking the Old Testament understanding. This is why we have the flood. This is why we have the conquest of Joshua and the cleansing of the Holy Land. These things now make much more sense in the idea of hybrids.
Totally.
And these things that were not human, especially in light of the seed war and the idea that there was this massive effort by the kingdom of darkness to prevent the coming of the Messiah. And they
absolutely
failed.
Correct.
Yeah.
You and I, of course, are adults. We have kids of our own. And what's wild is if you and I get excited learning about these topics, like my mind was blown with you and the other two guys, which Ryan Pittersons comes on right after you. So I love a little setup here. God knows what he's doing. All of you have such great insight. Everybody, you have to tune in to Luke and Nate with their phenomenal podcast. It's called Blurry Creatures. If you didn't jump on and you're not addicted yet, you will be after pretty much the first episode. You have to check it out, Blurry Creatures podcast. But the fact that you and I are, our minds are blown with what we've learned just in the last couple of years about this topic, mm-hmm. You much more in depth than I have been when it comes to these odd, weird topics.
Yeah.
Can you imagine if the youth of America would start hearing what you two are pumping out, which they are, and start learning about the phenomenal sections of scripture that are hardly discussed in church? We would have church doors open 24/7 because kids are so excited and they cling to these topics.
Yeah.
My jaw was on the ground this whole week taping this series. 90% of the information I've never heard before. That's what's blowing my mind with this topic. Blurry Creatures Podcast. Everybody check it out. 5-star. You also have a phenomenal, and I love the way it looks, website, blurrycreatures.com. How can we connect with you on here? Where should we go? And I know that you're speaking at a couple of upcoming events. How can we book you to come in and share at an event coming up?
Yeah, sure. You can always reach out to us. There's a couple emails there, info@blurrycreatures.com. This is the website. We've got swag. That's our studio, which is an 80s basement. It's an 80s.
I love it.
I hope we continue to be able to do this for as long as you'd like us to do it. And we're going to keep asking weird questions and having fun while we do it, Tina.
You're doing great. Watch all the episodes each and every week at counterculturemom.com and share the episodes with the masses. It's for us to shoot and you to share. Luke, I'm watching you, buddy. Keep at it.
All right. Thanks, Tina.
Thanks for joining us for the Counterculture Mom Show with your host, Tina Griffin. For over 2 decades, Tina has traveled the globe exposing how pop culture is glamorizing harmful behaviors without showing the consequences, and how these messages are wreaking havoc on today's youth. Through radio, TV, podcasts, and our app, Counterculture Ministries is reaching millions every week with a biblically based message for hope for today's teens and their parents. But we can't do that without your faithful prayer and financial investment. If you appreciate the ministry of Tina and Counterculture Ministries, would you prayerfully consider a generous gift right now? We have a donor matching dollar for dollar. You can give securely online by visiting counterculturemom.com or by texting the word donate to the number 55444. That's counterculturemom.com or text the word donate to the number 55444. Every dollar is doubled. If you love this show, you can stay up to date on the latest critical issues affecting your family by catching all of our weekly episodes with resource links, signing up for our e-newsletter, and downloading our Counterculture Mom app, where you get timely pop culture alerts. Visit counterculturemom.com for more details. And be sure to join us next week for another edition of the Counterculture Mom Show with Tina Griffin, where we are rewriting Hollywood's script for our kids.